Bible Bible today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tony Ricardo today. Tony is District 1, Duval County School Board candidate. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you're doing the vetting. I pray that you're, in fact, I jokingly say, so understand it's a joke, as Christians, conservatives, and Republicans, we need to vote like Democrats. That is soon and often. But the key to it is we need to make sure that we vetted the candidates and that we vote for the candidate that's going to honor God in that position of leadership. Tony, let me, that makes a transition, then we'll take our caller. The question is, how does your faith play into what you do, what you say, and how you would lead on the school board?
Well, it is the foundation, the very bedrock of all everything that I'm going to do. I have a biblical worldview. I honor God with the talents that He's given me and the opportunities He's given me. I just see everything through those beliefs. Now, that's not to say I'm going to beat somebody over the head with a Bible,
right,
or throw scriptures at them all the time, mm-hmm, but I'm going to live my life according to what I understand that the scriptures require.
In other words, what you say, what you do is predicated on what you believe, and what you
believe
is predicated on what the Word of God
says. That's right.
That's good. Absolutely. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, sorry I got cut off. I know you had to go to break. Yes, absolutely. When you get into office, how are you going to change things, my friend, and push that, you know, Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life? Because unfortunately, these socialist Marxists, they want to control the world, and even though the presidents are kind of just puppets, and we really know who is behind that, how are you going to change things? You know what I mean? How are you going to change things in the outlook?
Well, first of all, keep in mind it's a public school system. And, you know, should we need to use the principles that are found in scriptures. Again, you can't beat people over the head with scripture. You can't force them to take up a religious belief system and force them to do it. It has to be a free choice. So one of the biggest things that I know that we'll have to deal with is the student discipline issue to make the classroom safer, both safer for the students and safer for the teachers. One of the biggest reasons why teachers leave, one of the reasons why I left teaching, was because of the classroom safety issue and discipline issue. Retaining good teachers is going to be a part of that also. Yeah, you had a question?
Okay. What about if they start trying to pressure you about, you know, the same sex and the gender identity and all that garbage, and they try and, you know, how is that going to be addressed? Because that is a major problem. And,
yes.
I mean, unfortunately, the parents out there.
We consider it education, not indoctrination. Governor DeSantis has passed some legislation and made some rulings that will bring that back. And also with, like Dr. Youngblood was talking about, the Title IX issue. Florida is not following the national standard there. It's in a court case, I believe, right now.
Yes.
And so I would be against breaking the Title IX. Title IX is very important for girls' sports and girls' safety on campus. We're witnessing some of the problems right now at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. People that do not test as a female, XX chromosomes and XY chromosomes, you know, there's some problems. If you're a male, biological male, you have some advantages in strength and physiology that are not going to make it a fair contest with women or girls.
So, Alan, the bottom line is, in the state of Florida, and I'm thankful for that, legislation was passed and signed into law by Governor DeSantis that says that we're not going to adhere to the LGBTQI plus agenda for the South Carolina agenda in the classroom. The law says that the teachers in the classroom cannot, in fact, get into the teaching of the 1619 project, as it's called. They cannot teach CRT, critical race theory, in the state of Florida. However, we have some...
Are they bringing the Bible back?
Well, here's the point. In 2018, legislation was passed and signed into law that says that in every school in the state of Florida, they must display the sign, "In God We Trust." So far, they've not done that. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why? Why is it that the school boards across the state of Florida, in general, all of the school boards across the state of Florida have failed to adhere to that as law? That's the state motto. That's the motto that's on our coinage and currency in America. And there's nothing wrong with that motto being in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Tony, what are your thoughts? There's some states that have introduced now and passed legislation where the Ten Commandments are posted, where the Bible can be taught.
Yes.
How would you stand on that if it is the potentiality of introducing it, or if we have some of our legislators?
I believe we had good grounds to use the Bible as a historic textbook, if nothing else. Our very government is founded on biblical principles. You can't untie that. It's just a fact. Representative government comes out of Exodus. Mm-hmm. We have the Ten Commandments. We have laws, accountability, rules for warfare. Everything's in there.
That's right.
Everything's in there. And so it'd be hard to teach American history without at least teaching the Bible as history, if nothing else. I get it. A lot of people are going to blow a head gasket. You're bringing religion into separation of church and state and all that kind of stuff, which is not.
Well, Tony, I'm sure you're familiar with it. And Alan, I'll run this by you and then let you go. We have legislation now that's already been passed and signed into law by the governor.
Yes.
That allows each school to allow chaplains to come in and teach the Bible as an academic subject in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some that's against that. There's some pastors that's against that. They say that, well, they might get into teaching dogma, some denominational dogma, et cetera, et cetera. I think that, in fact, an admonition that I've had on the radio broadcast, we need to have Christian Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, Christian pastors that are willing to go and volunteer their time in the local school system to teach the Bible. I believe that that is a good first step, if nothing else. What are your thoughts?
I absolutely, I agree. I think that there should be... we are saved to serve, and Jesus Christ came to serve. And pardon?
I said that's a good statement. Thank you for that. Yes.
Definitely saved to serve. And if more pastors and more preachers would, you know, there's plenty that volunteer their time, but if we could get some, like you said, in the school system to teach, maybe there's going to be a pushback. But then you can always go against that and say, well, you guys are trying to bring transgenderism and stuff like that and trying to teach these little kids about boy and girl and this and that. So, I mean, if you guys think you have a right to do that, we should have a right to preach the truth, the word of God, to these implant the seed. Even though it's not our job to save, it's the Lord's job to save. But we should have a right to be able to at least, you know, plant a seed in these little ones so that the Holy Spirit can grow it.
Well, Alan, one of the things that I see as a gleaming, shining light of potential is that we see state after state after state passing legislation and signing it into law that allows the Ten Commandments to be posted. Then in the state of Florida, where the law has already been passed and signed into law, legislation passed and signed into law to display the In God We Trust at the doors, we have the legislation that's been passed and signed into law that allows the schools, each individual school, to have chaplains to come in and volunteer teaching the Bible. And of course, they use it teaching the Bible as history. Well, that's wonderful. I'll do that all day long.
Absolutely. You know,
because the Word of God, then, God will use His Word to speak to the hearts of the listener. So I think it is time that we, in fact, if we had more Bible in the classroom, we'd have fewer people
behavior
in the prisons across America. So, Alan, thank you so much for your call. Keep
You're
looking
welcome.
Up our redemption door at night. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tony Ricardo, a candidate for District 1 for the school board in Duval County. I'd love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Tony, what do you see as the greatest need or the greatest issues 1, 2, or 3, facing the school, Duval County schools today?
I just alluded to the first one, the student discipline issue, and thankfully our superintendent, our new superintendent, has already started to run with that ball. They're reviewing the student code of conduct. And, you know, you just have to make students more accountable for their actions. Kids that act out need to have a consequence, and if it's a serious acting out problem, then this consequence needs to be serious, particularly when the child is older, let's say in high school or junior high. Those things don't happen. There was just a case, I think, yesterday that was in the news where a 17-year-old student had pummeled a teacher into unconsciousness, and he got a sentence yesterday, I believe. And that happened right here in North Florida, you know, from last year, I believe. So, you know, it's just making the school classes less desirable for parents to send their kids to, and they're going to opt out and choose another option, something better, something safer. We, as a public school system, have to provide a better product, something that's safer,
right,
that kids will be safe in, parents will be safe sending their kids in, teachers will be safe teaching in. Another one is retaining good teachers, because we're losing them for the same issues.
That's right.
And then the last one would be accountability in the spending. Right now we are in a serious financial problem. The overspending of the past board and some of their habits, let's say, just led to overspending. And as we all know, you cannot outspend your budget. You have to have a budget and stay inside of it, or else you're going to end up in debt. And currently the school board is in debt.
It's in debt. And Tony, I've got a question that's on the heels of that. Have we ever had to your knowledge, have we ever had a forensic audit of
nope.
the funds for Duval County?
I don't think we're looking for that.
That's
needed. One of the things that we'd like to do, find out where all that money went.
Dollars in, dollars out, where did it go?
That's
because
right.
We increased the taxes by half a cent in order to increase the funds available to
and,
the school board.
And the millage rate went up a few years before that.
Yes. And yet we find teachers having to pay out of their pocket for supplies
yes.
for the students. We had a problem with that.
Now, here's an issue, too. I believe the teachers' salaries are all figured at the state level. So all the state determines how much teachers get paid across the board.
Right.
And so that is an issue that we really don't have a lot of control over. We
right.
can suggest to the state, hey, you know, we need to raise the pay for teachers. But that's a state issue.
Tony, a question that comes to mind. We had the conversation about the amalgamation of some of the schools, bringing in two schools and put them into one,
right.
closing some schools. Explain that to me and your posture on that. Is it good or bad?
I think it's bad. We have a lot of what we used to call neighborhood schools. They're smaller schools, probably 600 kids or so. And the talk is now, master facilities plan is to close down some of the older ones, some of them that will take a lot of money to renovate or bring up to standards. And these standards are for safety issues and for structural issues, safety issues, those kinds of things. But the idea there is that three smaller schools can be combined into one giant 1,200-seat or 1,800-seat school, and thereby reduce the overhead for three half partially utilized buildings and three, let's say, staff, and all those expenses and just send them to a larger school with one set of staff and one set of utilities and one set of expenses. But it doesn't seem to work out because the number one is, in my case, case in point, San Mateo Elementary is a school. In the last couple of years, it operated just slightly under the maximum. But this year, they're right there at it. So the student population has fluctuated some. It's a neighborhood school. It's very safe. Always been an A school. And they're talking about sending the kids two or three miles away to a large school, mm-hmm. which is arguably not been a very good
school. Does the state have control over that? Does the school board have control over that?
School board has that.
All right, your voice would count there.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. So the master facilities plan is already underway, and for those who are interested, I'd suggest you get involved like real fast because decisions are being made. They may even be made before I even get to the board.
Mm-hmm. So we can get as far down the road as we can for our listeners to understand who you are mm-hmm. and what you're about. Do you feel that the Duval County school system should have school police or have law enforcement, JSO, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, mm-hmm. Officers on duty at our schools? Which you think is the better choice?
Wow, that's a tough one. The abuses of the school police are evident because they did a lot of covering up under our last administration. Part of what charges got our last superintendent ousted. So I believe that the schools need to concentrate on the education.
Yes.
And we'll let justice be handled by the sheriff's department.
I agree with
that.
Now,
that's going to be an expense.
Yes, I agree with that completely because what we find, and I've read too much perhaps on that, but what I have found has been the history of the school police is that they are not carrying out police work.
That's right.
They're there to cover crime to make the school look safe.
Right. Well,
and I believe we need to have how would you say, sworn officers, JSO officers, a division of the JSO officers, or a rotation of officers on our school campuses mm-hmm. To make the school campuses safer and to stop the hidden crime.
Right.
Rape under the stairwells
right.
and the buildings, students that are beating other students, et cetera, but never coming to the public's identification
right.
or knowledge.
Well, the underreporting was really, really bad, and it's been a habit. Schools don't like to have bad reports, and because it affects their grade and those funds that come to the schools. So, you know, obviously it's like the fox watching the hen house.
It's a good example of that. Mm-hmm. Tony, without calling your opponent's name, mm-hmm. tell us what sets you apart, differentiates you and your opponent.
She is a very good classroom teacher. She has had a lot of awards for her teaching. However, she likes technology as opposed to actually just teaching the subject. She's very, she's invested in high technology. She's a proponent for adding math labs that look like game rooms, which is an expense that the county really is, it's hard to justify when you're in financial trouble to spend money on a luxury item. You know, it's just one of those things. She also has had issues, and I think she's just very liberal.
Mm-hmm. You know? Would you say that the liberality is probably the greatest downfall from the standpoint of her position? Would you say that she's in line with the National Educational Union?
She's in line with, the union and the teachers' unions in particular, the indoctrination issue.
That should tell us enough because, ladies and gentlemen, I personally have watched some of the lectures at the National Educational Association meetings and the National Teachers Federation meetings, and there's not an iota discussed about education, academics, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about politics, political agendas, and what needs to be taught in the classroom.
That's right. This
coming out of our educational unions, ladies and gentlemen, deals with how to indoctrinate students, how to brainwash students, how to tell the students what to think rather than how to think. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, personally, I think it's time that we change the trajectory of that. And the only way that's possible is to put people like Tony Ricardo in office,
that's right.
that he can have a say-so for morals and ethics and values and take a stand for the education of our students, our kids and our grandkids, rather than simply a political toy, if you please, in the classroom. Tony, when it comes down to it, I know it's close on time. What can our listeners do to help you cross the finish line?
Pray. Number one, pray. We're in a pretty tough race right now. It looks pretty good. We've got a good presence on, you know, out in the public. If you have time, we have volunteers that can help with the sign waving, with watching the polls, with getting out the vote. Talk to your neighbors, number one, about the issues that are facing the school board and the issues that are up for election. There's a lot of people who just don't want to know anything, mm-hmm. and will skip this election. And I've always said it's not an issue of us knowing that we're salt and light. We know we're supposed to be salt and light. Right. The problem is getting salt out of the shaker.
You got it.
We
got
to get the salt out of the shaker. So there's a lot of people in churches that want to be spiritually tuned in, but don't care about how that spirituality works outside the four walls of the church.
Well, you know, Tony, I've never understood that. When you look at the scripture, God created the home, God created government, God created the family.
Absolutely.
The church, and in that order. And everything that we do under the guise of what is called civil government
has morals.
Theologically, yeah. doctrinally, biblically, church issues, and family issues, all of it's biblical.
That's right.
And as a result of that, it should not cause anybody to shy away from discussing these issues. God created government, ladies and gentlemen, as God's servant to protect the good and prosecute the evil. Therefore, we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what our responsibilities are. We have citizenship in two kingdoms.
That's right.
Here on earth. And in
temporary,
heaven.
Yep.
And as a result of that, we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we're citizens, honorable citizens, in both categories, our citizenship on earth and our citizenship there in heaven. And, Tony, we're going to talk about it in just a moment. We've got a caller on the line. Lily, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for taking my call. I am late in listening in. I'm glad for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing and enlightening.
Lily, stay close to your phone because your voice is coming in and out.
Okay. So what do I? Yes, I don't know what the problem is. Is it any better now?
It's better now. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'm glad that you are highlighting the candidates and helping us. Right now, I have my mail-in ballot for August 20th, the primary election. And I do have school board on it, but it's District 5. So I don't know if Tony, and I'm not sure about how it's done. But I really need help with the candidates that I have on this ballot. I don't know anything about them.
Right. So you're in living in District 5, so you would not see my name or my opponent's name on your ballot. We have a very excellent candidate there, Reggie Blunt, who is running a three-way race, and he needs a lot of support because it is a three-way race. Should he not get 51%, then he would have to go to the November runoff.
So Reginald Blunt is your candidate for your district, Lillian. Reginald Blunt is one of the ones that's recommended in our recommended lineup for candidates for this primary and
yes.
for the...
And we've appeared at several events together, Reginald and the other two candidates too, Melody and Becky. We're all very like-minded. We're all sound Christian people who understand the moral foundation of education. And so we're very like-minded, and it's a tremendous opportunity. This opportunity hasn't ever showed up, I don't think, in the last 40 years where a school board could be turned to a conservative board
flip it to
overnight.
Conservative overnight. Absolutely.
Yes.
Lily, do you do text messages or emails?
Yes, I can. You would text me.
Everybody that's in your email lineup or your text lineup, get on your telephone and text everybody and tell them who you're voting for. Ask them to vote in your district for Reginald Blunt. Do the same thing for District 1. Tell them, ask your friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances, even enemies, if you've got them in your lineup, tell them to vote for Tony in District 1. That's the only way we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots can get the word out. We have a technologically advanced society that we're in. Get on your emails. Get on your text messages. Everybody in your handheld device, send them a note. Tell them how you're voting. Encourage them to vote that way that pleases the Lord. Lily, do you have other questions or comments, please?
Well, I need help with, like, the judges, the senator, yes, the United States, Columbus and Gross and Scott, well, Rick Scott, I don't know. I would need help in making the choice, so would you be able to text me something that I can know who to vote for on my paper? I'm not good with the technology. I'm really backward with it.
You've got my email address, I believe. Send me an email asking those questions, and I'll follow through on that for the sake of time on the broadcast today.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Lynn. Okay. Thank you, Lily. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tony Ricardo. Tony is the preferred candidate for District 1 for the school board race. Tony, you've been out in the streets. You've been shaking hands. You've been fist bumping. You've been
kissing
saying hello.
Babies, yeah.
Yeah. So tell our listeners some of the comments you've had, some of the questions you've had, some of the responses that you've
had. I'm very encouraged. There are a lot of, in particular, younger people. It's critical. As you know, when churches end up with just an older congregation, that's pretty much the end of the line. You have to have younger people getting involved and understanding the principles that you're standing for and how to implement them. So I'm very encouraged with the younger group. They're coming up to me when they see me and just encouraging me and thanking me for taking the time and taking the effort to run and put myself out there. Obviously, there are detractors. Anytime you stand up for something, somebody wants to take a notch out.
That's right. That's a typical response, and that's politely put.
Yes.
There are people today that dissuade you if you're standing for truth.
Yes.
Dissuade you if you're standing for morals, ethics, and values.
With no facts.
With no facts.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. There are a lot of people that think they can create their facts.
Yes.
They can create their own facts.
It's very convenient nowadays, too. Yeah,
that's right. Very convenient. That is the mantra that you see on a national, state, and local level. And, Tony, some of the final thoughts that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to vet the candidates. I believe we need to pray, seek God's face, and need to believe that we need to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land.
Amen.
And that's what we need today, is our lands need healing, our homes need healing, our families need healing. And the way we start with that, ladies and gentlemen, is to vet the candidates, put the right candidate in office, one that's going to honor God and honor our Constitution for the United States of America. So what kind of America can we look at and look for in 2025? The kind of candidates, the kind of nation that the candidates that we vote for will bring to us. Therefore, it's vital that we understand that. Tony, we've got about 10 seconds. Wrap up with a few minutes, seconds.
It depends on we the people. Everybody needs to stand up and do their part.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.